Good evening and welcome to E-Bible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 8 of Revelation chapter 7. And we're going to be reading Revelation 7 verses 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now, we were looking in our last study at the 12,000 that were sealed from each of 12 tribes of Israel, and we saw how they are spiritually a figure of all those that God would save during the church age. And God had indicated at the beginning of this chapter that there were four angels or messengers standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, until the servants of God were sealed in their foreheads. And the statement has application to both the completion of the sealing of the elect that were saved throughout the church age. When that was finalized at the end of the church age, then God brought judgment on the churches and congregations. And also in Revelation 7 verse 9, we read, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. That is, after the 144,000 that are the first fruits unto God, which completely identify with the Feast of Pentecost and therefore with the church age, after their salvation, after they have been sealed, there is another group of people that are not said to come of the tribes of Israel. That's one thing we notice as we read verse 9. They are found of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. God is not saying they're of the tribe of Dan or Judah or Levi. He is not saying they are of Israel, even though they are likewise saved, equally saved as the 144,000, and therefore they also are spiritual Jews, yet God is not using that figure to represent the great multitude. Well, why not? Because the tribes of Israel, Israel itself, picture, as God uses them as a type and figure in the Old Testament, they picture the New Testament churches and congregations. So it's very natural to carry that over as he is describing the fruit, those that will become saved during the church age, and to identify them with the 12 tribes of Israel. But what is he to do when he has ended the church age and yet he has a plan to complete his harvest, as we saw in Exodus 23, verse 16, and Exodus 34, verse 22. Harvest is two-part. There is the first fruits, and then the fruits that come in during the feast of ingathering at the year's end. And ingathering is held simultaneously with the Feast of Tabernacles. And so God cannot continue to speak of those that he has saved as being of the tribes of Israel. That could cause some confusion. So he differentiates, and he says that the great multitude is of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, in order to let us know they are coming out of the great tribulation, the time when the age of the church is over, and he did not use the churches to bring about their salvation, but he sent forth his word to these people who were located outside of the churches and congregations of the world. And they are this fruit. They are the precious fruit of the earth that are brought in at the final harvest at the end of the year, which points to the end of time during the little season of the Great Tribulation, as God would pour out the latter rain to bring in the latter crop, the end of the year harvest. And so, we need to recognize this. And also, he is not using the language of sealing the great multitude. He uses different language, again, more than likely to make distinction between the two groups. But we also must realize that everyone that is saved is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The 144,000 are said explicitly to be sealed, and so we might miss the fact that so are the great multitudes sealed by the Spirit of God, even though it is not directly stated. And that means when God says in verse 3 of Revelation 7, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads," that this would have application to the completion of God's salvation program up until he saves the last of the elect, and that took place during the Great Tribulation when the gospel was going forth into the world outside of the churches, and this great multitude became saved. In other words, when the last person, the last individual whose name was recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life became saved during the time of the Great Tribulation, it could have been May 20th or May 21st, right up until God shut the door of heaven, then all of God's servants were sealed in their forehead, and then the hurting of the earth and the sea and the trees, figures to represent unsaved people of the earth, could begin. And that's what God did. Is May 21, 2011 was judgment day for this world. Well, let's read verse 9 again of Revelation chapter 7. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number," and then it goes on. And the word, the Greek words, "after this," if you have a Greek Bible or interlinear Bible that has the English, you can open it up and anyone can see this. It is metatauta. Metatauta, that's two Greek words. Meta is Strong's number 3326. And the Greek word meta is a preposition whose meaning changes according to the case. When used with the genitive, as it is found in Matthew 1, verse 23, where we read "God with us," it's translated as "with." That's when it's used with the genitive case. But when it's used with the accusative case, it means "after." And an example of this is found in Matthew 24, verse 29, "immediately after the tribulation of those days." Now, the word "tribulation" is in the accusative case, and so it is properly translated as "after." And sometimes people get this confused, and they just look up the Greek word "meta," again, 3326, and they see that it's used most often or translated most often as "with," and so they think, all right, well, we can substitute the word "with," And so, for instance, in Matthew 24:29, instead of saying immediately after the tribulation, they try to make that substitution, say immediately with the tribulation. And that changes the meaning of the verse. But it is not permissible. It is not permissible. This is a rule that God establishes. When we search the Bible, we find that these cases determine whether it should be translated as with or after. And another thing that we can notice is whenever time is in view or a proper order of things that involve time, the word meta is translated after. For instance, in Revelation 11, where the 3.5 days in verse 11, Revelation 11:11, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. The word after is meta, because it involves time. Please feel free to look up every place that you will find a time reference in the Greek word meta. It will not be translated with, but it will always be translated after. And so as we have this word in Revelation 7 verse 9, it is properly translated after because it's in the accusative case, and it's a sequence of events, and really it does involve time, as the 144,000 are sealed or saved first, and after this, following that, there is a great multitude, and this great multitude, it makes up the total harvest. There is the first fruits, the 144,000, and then comes the final fruit that is taken in at the year's end. And it's significant that God says, he has the question asked in verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed the robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now that identifies the great multitude, because the question specifically dealt with them. They were the ones clothed in white robes. And the question was, where did they come from? And the answer was, out of great tribulation. Now, the two words, megasthalipsis, in the Greek are only found a few times in the New Testament. And in each case, they deal with a period of time that comes at the end of the world. In Matthew chapter 24, we read in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And remember, Jesus is speaking of great tribulation in response to the disciples' question at the beginning of the chapter, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And in that context, we read of great tribulation. So the first fruits, they began to be gathered all the way back in 33 AD on the day of Pentecost. They were not associated with great tribulation. Oh, they would have association with tribulation, as Jesus said to really all disciples, to all Christians in the world, ye will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So tribulation is normative for the child of God in this world. We will experience tribulation for the sake of the gospel. But great tribulation is anything but normal. As Matthew 24 indicated, Again, let me read that verse. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It is not the typical tribulation that God's people experience throughout time, but it is something reserved, something has increased. It has become megas, thalipsis, great tribulation. And that identifies with the 23-year period that we just went through from May 21, 1988 through May 21, 2011. Therefore, the great multitude identifies with the time of the end of the world, just as the 144,000 identify with the church age. Two distinct groups that are both saved are in view in Revelation chapter 7. And the word after this really emphasizes this distinction, that there are the 144,000 and then there are these others. And let's read verse 9, continue reading. A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And here God is making reference to four different people groups, nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. And it's really all referring to the same. It's the number four because it has reference to the four points of the compass. That is, these people come from the north and they come from the south and they come from the east and they come from the west. They are coming from all over the world. The great multitude is not just in America and it's not just in Canada. It is in every nation. They do not just speak English. They speak all languages. That God has saved his elect from the four corners of the earth. And these people have various backgrounds, kindreds, and tongues and so forth. And so it's language indicating that this is universal. It is those that are saved outside of the churches, and the churches are all over the world. That's true. But we know from other biblical language what God has done as he ended the church age and commanded his people to come out, to depart out of Judea and flee to the mountains. And we know that God sent forth the gospel in a mighty way, as we were privileged to witness its going forth in the days leading up to May 21, 2011, as the gospel was carried to the far reaches of the earth. It really is a wonderful thing that testifies of the glory of God, that he was faithful to bring the warning of judgment day to all the earth. And we knew it in advance, because the Bible told us that that everyone would hear, as it says in Matthew 24, in verse 14, in this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that's exactly what God did. He orchestrated events. He controlled circumstances. First of all, he ended the church age, and you would think, well, now it's just impossible. The church numbers nearly 2 billion. Maybe if they were all on the same page, all the various denominations and churches, if they all could get together and warn their flocks and have their flocks go out to warn the rest of mankind that are outside of the churches, maybe you could get a message to all the inhabitants of the earth. And yet, that's not how it worked. God distanced himself. He cut off the churches and congregations. They no longer were his representatives. Their testimony was finished, and he did not use them at all. As a matter of fact, they fought against the news that was coming forth from the Bible at just about every turn. They denied that you can know the day or hour. They gave people false encouragement, and they rejected the truth of the Bible. God did not use them. He testified against them, but instead he used the electronic medium that he had opened up. He kept this in reserve. It's the only thing we can say, because the world has been around for thousands of years, and only recently, 150 years or so, has the intellectuals, the scientists, the brilliant minds of men been able to understand the many of the possibilities that could come forth with technology in the electronic medium. And why is that? Are men smarter today? Well, no. The actual evidence, I think, as we look at tests that students take, is that men are not as smart as they used to be. You know, when we look at some of the people of centuries ago, many of them would know several languages. They would not be distracted with all of the things that we have to distract us today. They could spend their time concentrating on study, and they really they felt that gathering an education was extremely important. And some of these men were the most brilliant men that you could find, and yet the secrets that God hid to light and to radio waves and internet and all of these things were kept from them because it was not the time. It was only, again, about 150 or so years ago that God began to build the structure that would finally produce an electronic medium that could reach masses of people, just incredibly large numbers of people, quickly, in an instant. Just read the book of Acts, and we read of the struggles and the trials of the Apostle Paul and the other missionaries as they took ship to carry the news of the gospel, and they would be gone for months and sometimes years, and only be able to reach a few cities in the same region of the world. And now any individual today can get on the internet and he can post something, a teaching from the Word of God, and potentially reach thousands and ten thousands of people or more. And those people could be in any village, any town, any city, any nation of the world. What an incredible thing that we can speak over the phone, or that we have radio signals and television and internet and all of these things. And they all came into sharp focus. They all began to be developed where they could be used in this way, in a tremendous way, to get out the gospel at precisely the time the world's population was reaching tremendous proportions of nearly 7 billion people, at precisely the time the church age was ending, and at precisely the time the Great Tribulation, the time of the end of the world, was beginning, and the latter rain was to be poured out. What an incredibly brilliant plan God had, and just a great wisdom where he could set aside such a corporate body that had been established in every nation and say, I'm not going to use you at all. No, I'm going to use my people, my elect, the few, and even though there's not as many of them at all in comparison to the numbers in the churches, even though they lack the funds, I am going to be with them, and they will be able to reach out into all the areas of this world, and the world will hear. And that's exactly what God did as he blessed a ministry like Family Radio in those days at that time, more and more as they were able to spread the gospel, the true gospel, up until the point of God shutting the door of heaven. And he stirred up within his people a great desire to will and do of his good pleasure to get that word out. As the Lord's people heard the voice of Christ, and they knew without question, this was it. This was Judgment Day. The Bible guaranteed it. And as the scriptures locked into place, there just was no doubt. And so God's people went forth in missions like Project Jonah or the caravan, or individuals going out into their own neighborhoods in a very diligent way, handing out as many tracts to as many people as they could, wearing T-shirts and hats and jackets and handing out cards and talking to people. And billboards proclaimed it, and buses proclaimed it, and all kinds of advertising proclaimed the approaching day of judgment, until the world itself could not ignore what it would certainly long to ignore, and that is that there was a proclaimed date that they had to take seriously and at least take note of. And it was coming forth from the Bible, and these people were proclaiming it. So a great anxiety came upon the world at that time, and God made sure that his people, this great multitude that were out there in all nations and tongues and tribes, heard this news, and he saved them through the hearing of his word. But this is a wonderful verse for us to encourage us. We're not alone. That's what some people would have us think. Oh, there's very few true believers. Oh, far from it. There is a great multitude which no man can number.